Hysteria is brought to you by OneSkin. Alyssa, what do you personally like most about OneSkin?
You know what I love about OneSkin, Erin, is that I was born with all of these chronically dry patches all over my body, and I tried the OneSkin on it, and they went away.
That's amazing.
Yeah, very lucky. I've been to many a pedicure where the technician tried to scrub my dry patches off thinking they were dirt. So this has been a real win for me. I'm not going to lie. My elbows, my knees, and my ankles.
Yeah, you definitely, especially coming into winter and in the season where like everybody is dry all the time. OneSkin is known for cult favorites like OS1 Body, OS1 Face, and OS1 Eye. OneSkin stands out for their science-first approach, delivering hydration, barrier support, and powerful longevity benefits in a single step.
At the core is their patented OS1 peptide, the first ingredient proven to target senescent cells, the root cause of wrinkles, crepiness, and loss of elasticity, all key signs of aging, with results validated in 5 published clinical studies. Customers consistently rave about how their skin is smoother, firmer, and healthier looking with results that get better over time. No wonder OneSkin's products have over 10,000 five-star reviews. Certified safe for sensitive skin, their moisturizers are free from over 1,500 harsh or irritating ingredients, dermatologists tested, and have been awarded the National Eczema Association Seal of Acceptance by the NEA. That is probably why my dry patches went away.
You know what? I want that seal of acceptance. As someone with eczema, I would like to have the seal of acceptance. How do I apply? Is it like the Nobel Peace Prize? Do I have to be the coolest person with eczema who's willing to talk about
it? Well, then you are the coolest person I know with eczema.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Editors have named OneSkin a brand to watch with recognition from Fast Company, Mindbody, Green, Town & Country, and The Today Show. At the helm of this iconic skincare brand is their founding all-woman team of longevity scientists with backgrounds in stem cell biology, skin regeneration, and tissue engineering. All of OneSkin's products are designed to layer seamlessly or replace multiple steps in your routine. I love that. I hate it. I hate a routine where I'm like, I've got so much between me and when I can lie down.
That I'm just not going to do it.
I mean? Right. Yeah. Right. I need it simplified. Simplified. Thank you, OneSkin. Making skin health easier and smarter at every age.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company targeting cellular aging to keep your skin and scalp looking and acting younger for longer. For a limited time, you can try OneSkin with 15% off using code HYSTERIA at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code HYSTERIA. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Try OneSkin today. Your future self will thank you.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
NASA just announced that they'll be sending a manned mission to orbit the moon, set for 2026. Mm-hmm. The ship is going to be named the Artemis II. Alyssa, do you think if Donald Trump learns that Artemis was a chick, that he is going to change the name of the mission?
Probably.
What do you think you'd change it to?
Something horrible. Something he would unearth some Confederate hero to name it after.
The Andrew Jackson.
The Andrew Jackson's taken flight.
Ugh. We had a research heavy show today.
Yeah, we got into it.
We got into it. I think both of us went a little bit insane.
Listen, I'm gonna have to scrub my internet history.
I know, you're going to get really bad ads served up against whatever you Google, whatever you try to search. You're just going to get bad ads. But we talk about, speaking of doing your own research, we talk about President Trump and RFK Jr.'s absolutely batshit, insane, stupid press conference about Tylenol and vaccines and their tenuous links to autism. We also talk about a new divorce law in Kentucky that is making women stay with abusers in order to protect their children. I know, real upbeat in the news, in the news block. We're talking about how ICE raids have allowed just plain old criminals to disguise themselves and target and harm immigrant women.
And the patriotic curricula that the Trump administration wants to produce going into our semi-quincentennial.
Right. So basically, getting pregnant is going to be worse than ever. It's going to hurt more than ever. You're going to have fevers higher than ever. It's going to suck even worse. And if something happens when your child is developing, that's your fault. Also, if you do want to get a divorce from the father of that child, it's going to be very difficult mm-hmm. and terrible. That child is going to be educated to be a dumbass. Those are the three prongs of having kids in America right now. We also talk about Candace Owens. She's more popular than ever.
Yep.
She's surpassing Joe Rogan. That's not necessarily a good thing. I think a lot of people are being pipelined. So we talk a little bit about who she is and, you know, the sort of media savvy that you should have if you're going to consume her content. Got to know who she is, what she's done, yeah. what she's been through, that sort of a thing. Because the more I read about her, the more I was like, oh, wow, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Zoinks.
That's pretty wild. And then, you know, as a continuation of that conversation, we talk about how there is a ton of effort on the right now to pipeline young women into the right wing by giving them sort of like anodyne, gentle content that funnels them.
We get into some of Evie Magazine's greatest hits.
Some of the greatest hits, like grieving through your vagina. Stick around to learn what that is. And then, of course, we have Sandy Petty. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that puts omen in women. on Monday, the Trump administration made a big autism announcement. Alyssa, did you watch?
I did.
What did you think of it?
I was depressed.
Well, the announcement was, we figured out autism. We solved it.
In 9 months.
We solved it. We solved it in 9 months. Never mind the fact that medical researchers with actual medical training have been studying autism, its causes, its treatments, whatever, for decades, for literal
decades.
Never mind the fact that a lot of the premise around the urgency in solving autism within 9 months, and the premise was there never was autism before. You don't know a 70-year-old autistic person.
This all just happened.
This is just, autism is going up, 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 up. And it's like, I feel like they're just not listening to the explanation as to why autism diagnoses are going up, which is that we have better diagnostic tools. And we a broader definition of autism enables children to have better access to services for people who mm-hmm. fall at some point on the autism spectrum. So, like, but I feel like no matter how many people said that to President Trump the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I don't think that they would. It just, the information does not permeate.
It's not that it doesn't permeate. They don't want it.
Right.
They don't want it, Erin.
It's like
they have a theory that they are just trying to prove.
Right.
That's it. They're not actually looking for the science or the why.
Right. Well, trying to tell them something that they don't want to hear is like trying to get magnesium by rubbing it on your skin. You can't do it. Skin's a barrier.
And I've tried.
Skin's a barrier. I know. They're like influencers are selling magnesium lotion now.
Are you kidding?
I tried
the shit you rub on the bottom of your feet. No, it does make your feet feel good, but it didn't do the same as ingesting it orally.
I mean, we're living in a really dangerous time medically. That announcement, in addition to involve, like, Donald Trump sounded like a moron, like a literal moron.
Babbling.
Just what was the quote that he said? Like, it cannot, no good can bad happen, only good.
Yeah. It was. And he also punctuated sentences with things like, that's what I would do. That's what I think we should do.
That's based on my feelings. That's based on my feelings.
I just think that there's too much liquid in the vaccines, and so we should just space them out. That's what I would do.
Okay.
Well, you're not a doctor, and neither is the HHS secretary.
You're not a doctor, nor have you ever taken a child to the doctor. I do not believe for a moment that man has provided any direct medical care for his children. And I also do not believe, I don't believe he's witnessed a baby getting shots, not like, apart from whatever propaganda videos RFK Jr. has showed him.
Right.
I don't believe that he's changed a diaper. I don't believe that he was in the room when his kids were born because he's such a fucking baby about blood and cleanliness and
stuff. I agree with all of those.
I think that it is insulting that he's offering medical advice, information geared toward pregnant people. Like, it's so gross to me. Also, like, okay. What upset, I think, a lot of people the most, anybody who's ever, you know, been pregnant, helped somebody else, supported someone who was pregnant, whatever, like, there are not very many things. I've mentioned this on the show before. Mm-hmm. There's not very many things that, like, you're allowed to take. A lot of it is just, like, and out of an abundance of caution, many pregnant women suffer even though the remedy of it probably won't cause a problem, they still choose the riskier, the least risky path that requires them to suffer. So there's like an amount of pain and suffering just inherent in pregnancy. And Tylenol was like one of the only things that pregnant women were told that they could take. And now we have the president saying, don't take Tylenol. He can't even pronounce acetaminophen.
That was shocking.
Like, do you think that they were like, you got to say this word and not the brand name in this press conference? And in the middle, he was like, I can't say it. I'm 100%.
Because it absolutely owes him up to being sued.
I mean, I've seen, I think if I were an attorney for the parent company of Tylenol, I would be like, all right, wind them up.
Let's go. Yeah.
Another thing that, you know, Tylenol is one of the only approved over-the-counter things that women can take during pregnancy. It's the only thing that's approved for pain. Ibuprofen can literally cause like miscarriage and birth defects and low amniotic fluid and like a whole host of other things. Tylenol is also a fever reducer, and fevers are very, very dangerous for both the woman and the fetus during pregnancy. Like, you can literally cause a birth defect that is incompatible with life if you have a high fever that is unmanaged. And the only way to manage it at home is with Tylenol. And Alyssa, you know what happens if you go to the hospital for a high fever? You know what they give you?
Tylenol.
They give you fucking Tylenol, but they give it to you intravenously.
Like one of our faves, Dr. Heather Irrabunda, said she always tells pregnant women with a fever to take Tylenol because a fever in a mom is like baking your baby's brain.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I was like, well, that's vivid.
That's a very colorful and vivid way to describe something terrible that can happen.
Right.
I think people the press conference was so – there were so many problems with it. Like, he sounds really stupid. He is really stupid. He probably got a science test handed back to him face down. Probably hasn't had a science class since he was in the military high school that his dickhead of a dad made him go to because he was poorly behaved. He also is really making it seem as though it is a mother's fault if her child is born and develops autism. And anybody who has looked into this at all, like through reputable sources or talked to somebody who treats autistic children or who has an autistic child, anybody can tell you that there's like a million factors. And that's why it is something that has been studied for as long as it's been studied. And it also is like dangerous because I think if people really follow his advice, his medical advice based on his feelings to the letter, like, babies will die and mothers will suffer.
Well, I mean, Aaron, let's harken back to COVID. Like, when he told people to use bleach, Clorox had to put a statement out that was like, actually, don't do that, because they were concerned. When he did not shut down the conversation, the online conversations around ivermectin, tractor supply had to take it off the shelves so that people couldn't buy it for themselves. People listened to him. So what you're saying is absolutely correct, because he is the president of the United States. People trust him,
yeah,
for better or worse.
I also think, like, I remember when I was pregnant, if I was going through something that was tough, like physically, you know, if I was having a day where I felt really, like I had a really bad headache or whatever, or I just felt exhausted at 5 p.m. and I just needed to lie down or whatever. There are things that happen to you when you're pregnant that do not happen to you under any other, like under any previous like medical situations, right? If my husband had said to me, I think you should tough it out at any point.
No.
I'm not a violent person, but no. I would have like wanted to smack him. And Donald Trump saying that into a microphone, like, tough it out, tough it out. Oh my fucking God.
It's not that hard. My Ingalls did it.
Oh my God. There's also been some chatter online that, you know, that this is going to lead to more minimization of like women's pain. Mm-hmm. Which has already been minimized. Like, you mentioned the last time we talked about this, that, like, the things women suffer through when they're going through menopause has been, like, discounted and ignored by the medical community for a really long time. And this just feels like it goes hand in hand.
It does.
They
just don't care.
It's like, not only do they not care, they think that they are owed women's labor and pain. Like, it is something that we we should just give, that is just part of our womanhood, is like giving them pain.
Well, and you know what I saw? It was stark, right? I guess it wasn't funny. I saw this meme on Instagram the other day that said the song I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston is older than how long most medications and research goes back for women and people of color. That, like, that song.
Holy shit.
That, like, it only started when that song came out. That's around the same time that they started studying the effects of drugs and things on women, on people of color, and different ethnicities and genetic backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. You know what? I think it wasn't too long ago. I think it was 2023 that we started testing pads and tampons with something that wasn't saline.
Yes, that is exactly correct.
If you've ever seen a contact lens solution and had a period, you know that they're
not the same.
They're not at all the same, not in any way, shape, or form the same. I mean, it's also like, I have an old, like, friend of a friend used to be a medical researcher who studied the gender differences of mm-hmm. pain. And part of the reason that he studied it was because science had just kind of, like, whoopsie-doodled it and just not studied what pain is in, mm-hmm. like, females of any species and, like, what the appropriate remedy is for pain. And, we're, like, so behind the eight ball already. And, like, now this pain remedy that is okay to use during a very painful and difficult time, now we are told to just, like, fucking tough it out. Like, that really makes me mad. There's something that makes my skin crawl when men who are not doctors try to dispense information about women's health. Like,
yeah,
like,
and you have to assume that if there were very reputable doctors that wanted to put their face to this, they would have been at the press conference.
Yeah, but there wasn't.
Even
one of the authors of the Harvard study that they cited, that they said proves a causation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what the study proves. The study shows that we should continue to ask questions. We should continue to examine whether or not there is a causation.
Right.
The study did not rule out causation. That's not the same as definitively, oh, my God.
Right. Correlation is not causation.
No, it's not. And that's, like, the first thing you learn when you're doing a science experiment.
Right.
Like, right. And, oh, God, this is, my heart goes out to anybody who listened to that press conference or watched it, who does have a background in public health or in science or in medicine or in biology, because I cannot imagine the migraine, the, like, annoying stress migraine you must have right now from listening to that garbage. There's also something that happened at the press conference. They said there's a cure. Well, it's a treatment. There's a cure.
Fascinating.
That will be covered by Medicare and Medicaid. It's Leucovorin, a form of vitamin B that's used during cancer treatment. The American Psychiatric Association stated after the press conference that use of this medication is not yet advised, and they'll need more research before knowing if it's appropriate for use.
It's a big announcement. Big announcement for actually not any news.
The thing that really fucking makes me mad is I think in this country, children are already, like, dehumanized mm-hmm. and treated like the property of their parents, especially in red states, in a way that is, like, really gross. And I think that, like, it's important for us to remember that in addition to, like, mothers having bodies that can experience pain, mm-hmm. like, children should have the right to access all of the public health measures available to them without their parents interfering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they should have a right to get, like, babies should have a right to be, like, vaccinated from, they should be vaccinated at birth if that's what doctors say. Like, they should get a Hep B vaccine at birth if that's what doctors say is correct. They should get the MMR vaccine mm-hmm. all at once instead of what kind of a fucking idiot would be like, oh, you know what? I think babies should have, like, five different shots instead of one shot.
Right.
Like, if you've ever taken a baby to get shots, they don't, it's not the number of diseases causing them to, like, in the shot causing them to, like, be upset. It's the number of needles going into their leg.
Right.
Like, why are you advocating for the baby to be poked more, you fucking dipshit? Anyway, this is going to set public health back a lot.
He's working very hard to set it back in every way possible.
I mean, I don't know what. I also want to sit somebody down that's like all in on Donald Trump mm-hmm. and his public health measures and be like, play it forward for me how you think this is going to go. You've identified the problem of low birth rate. Mm-hmm. You've identified a problem of women not choosing to be mothers, and you've acted completely confused about why that might be, and you've blamed leftist forces for that. Okay, let's say those things are true. We have a low birth rate that we have to fix. The leftists are ruining motherhood. How do you think what you have done is going to possibly lead to more people choosing to be pregnant?
Like, right. Because if I'm a person, I'm obviously too old to be pregnant, but if I'm in my 20s and I'm taking in this information, you're like scared shitless. You're like, if what he had said was true, which neither of us believe it is, mm-hmm. but if something like Tylenol has been considered, like what Donald Trump has done is undermined something in like the biggest way possible. We all believe Tylenol to be one of the safest things that we can take. There are
unless you're drinking, like literally poison for your liver.
But there are a lot of people who can only take Tylenol because of certain mm-hmm. health conditions. And so like for me, I can only take Tylenol because of my reflux issues, right? Doctor's like, you know what, for the rest of your life, you should probably just stick to Tylenol. So for anyone who's been told to take Tylenol, you're like, well, Jesus Christ, if it can do that to someone who's, if it can have that kind of impact on someone who's pregnant, then should I really be taking it? I mean, he's just undermining how everybody can care for themselves in a way that's like affordable, actually.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And like, you know, I saw something on social media yesterday that I thought was really funny. And it was like, if Tylenol actually did cause autism, this is how America would look. And it showed a high-speed rail that went to every major American city.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, you know what? That would be great. I think one more thing that bears mentioning here is we've talked about eugenics on this show, mm-hmm. and there is an undercurrent of eugenics in the way that this administration talks about any, like, neurological, mm-hmm. Abnormality. And I think that it's really troubling. And people, you know, I have an autistic family member. It's very troubling to imagine that, like, now in this press conference, they've been like, we've identified the cause. It's women taking Tylenol.
Right.
We've identified the solution. It's this unproven thing that Dr. Oz's company just so happens to sell.
Right.
Like, and so what I am worried about is that this is paving the way to push families of autistic children to engage in this treatment or be denied services. Like,
right.
People are going, like, if you do not do this thing, you will be considered, like, uncooperative.
Mm-hmm.
And so you will have turned down the cure. And so you won't be eligible for, like, government assistance or extra support.
No, that's really true, because there were several doctors who I follow on Instagram that were – I mean, they're actual doctors, but they were saying this exact point, that if the government comes out, says this is what you should be taking, that all of the other, that like, they were saying that almost every person who has autism, everyone's unique, basically, in mm-hmm. how they're treated, if they're treated, how they move through the world. And that by saying this is something akin to a cure, then the other treatments that people have been able to get could more easily be denied by insurance. Because mm-hmm. they're like, oh, no, you have to try this. You have to do it for 2 years, or you have to do it for a year before we'll say that this doesn't work for you. And that's, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that's what insurance does.
Right. Oh, no, God. I know.
They're like, have you tried this annoying thing that isn't going to cure it, but is going to, like, make it so you're getting worse less quickly? And you're like, no. And they're like, okay, well, see you in 2 years. Like, when I got, like, my – this is gross, whatever, TMI. But, like, I've got varicose veins, mm-hmm. and I got them treated this year. And before I got them treated, I had to wear – compression stockings for like months and months. Those things are annoying to put on.
Mm-hmm.
They're hot. They're itchy. But like, I had to be like, I'm wearing these for 6 months before like my insurance would even cover what little bit of it did cover.
Mm.
And like, you know, I'm glad that's behind me, but it's like, I could have been done with this like a year ago.
Right.
I could have been.
Right.
But like instead it just, and this is what they're going to do with autism now. Yep. They're going to be like, nope, you can't get like, you don't get extra attention in school. You don't get like, you know, extra support. You don't get like
right.
counsel, you know, whatever. They're going to be like, try this vitamin B, you know, this magic potion.
Just try it. Get back to us.
Try these magic beans. And Alyssa, you touched on something really important. I'm going to skip around in our outline.
Yeah,
a bit.
Yeah.
You touched on like, you know, why would women want to have kids given the fact that we're making pregnancy even worse than it needs to
right.
be? But here's another reason that I think that it's a completely rational and self-preserving decision mm. for a young woman to be like, I'm not going to have kids.
Oh, yeah. I know where you're
there's
going.
There's a new law in Kentucky mm-hmm. around divorce. In 2018, Kentucky became the first state to pass a law that made equal custody the default arrangement for divorces. So since then, Arkansas, West Virginia, Florida, and Missouri have followed suit. And about two dozen other states are considering a policy like this. So this is like a lot of people, okay? A lot of Americans. Since 2016, Kentucky's divorce rate has fallen 25% compared with a nationwide decline
wow.
of 18%. Proponents of the custody law say that this is great. This is a bonus. Divorce is down. But actually,
no.
Read between the lines.
Right.
There was some Wall Street Journal reporting earlier this month that came out and said the real reason, which is that women are staying in horrible relationships because they fear for their children spending 50% of the time with their shitty-ass dads.
Right.
They are staying trapped in abusive situations. They're trying to protect their children. Elizabeth Martin, chief executive of the Louisville-based Center for Women and Family, which provides services to victims of domestic violence, told the Wall Street Journal, they know their kids are safer if they stay, even if it means taking some beatings. So that's what's happening in Kentucky.
Yeah.
And domestic violence experts say that the law makes it more difficult for judges to consider the whole picture, aka the best interest of the child, which was how custody was like determined before then. And that's why moms usually got more custody, because it was in the best interest of the child to be with the moms.
Right.
The benefit of this law for men, benefit, quote unquote, is that they pay less in child support.
Of course.
So this prioritizes the health and well-being and, like, preferences of the dad over the health and well-being
of the kids.
Of the child.
Yeah.
The 50-50 child division is really, really unhealthy for women and children. And, you know, there's something so fucking sick about a society that prioritizes the preferences of men over the needs of women and children. Like, if we were an animal species, like, we would be going extinct. You know,
yeah.
like if we were like in a wild animals and all we did was like, you know, oh, like the male bird likes to be out of the rain. And so the female bird and the babies are just going to stay there and get rained on. Like those birds would go extinct. You have to take care of like reproductive females and you have to take care of children. And like, it's just, it is, this is so gross. And again, this is happening in like two dozen other states are
yeah.
thinking about this. So if you have a kid with somebody and he's an abusive piece of shit, the only way for you to protect your kid from him in many cases, if he's not, like, I read in the Wall Street Journal that there was a case of one woman who had been abused by her husband. And during the divorce, she brought up that he'd abused her, but he was still awarded 50% custody
right.
because he hadn't abused the kid. So like, if you like, it's just, it's so fucked up. So if you have a kid with somebody and then he turns out to be a piece of shit,
move to another state.
You're stuck. I know, but like,
I know.
How many people have the resources,
of course not,
you know?
I'm just...
And like a lot of the other states that are never going to pass laws like this, blue states have like higher cost of living.
Right.
Like a different set of expectations around like, could you even get a job there? Like, do you have family there? Do you have support there? Like, somebody in Kentucky or Texas even, I know we talk about, like, leaving Texas all the time,
mm-hmm.
but, like, a lot of people who live there just, it is simply not something that they can do to just, like,
right.
pick up and
right. No, I was just,
leave.
I was just meaning
no,
that the only option is one that's not really available. I wasn't making light of people's
right. no,
financial
no, no. I know,
circumstance.
I know, you would never.
Well, I'm
you
just,
would never.
For people who are listening, just want to be clear.
I know. It's just like very upsetting. We encourage you all to read that Wall Street
mm-hmm.
Journal report. Please read it. It will be linked in our show notes. Okay, let's talk a little bit about another reason to not have kids. Education. in this country.
Not going well.
Not going well.
No. Last week, Erin, a story that not a lot of people paid a ton of attention to, it was announced the Department of Education plans to incorporate patriotic curricula in America for its 250th birthday, also known as the semi-quincentennial. I got that all out. Turns out the Department of Education is useless to Trump until he figures out a way to use it to funnel conservative teachings to students. So there are a lot of outside organizations that they have roped into this. The most terrifying to me is the Moms for Liberty. Erin, what are the Moms of Liberty known for? They hate gays. They like to ban books. They don't like to talk about any, like, their anti-woke ideology, which literally covers anything that's anything.
Yeah,
that's,
they're the biggest assholes at the school board meeting.
They
are. Like, if you've ever seen Field of Dreams, you know the part where Annie has a confrontation about book burning and she calls her a Nazi cow. The woman that Annie yells at in the meeting in Field of Dreams would be a Mom for Liberty.
Yes.
I know that's a deep cut.
No, but this is just everyone should just, like, keep their eyes out. This seems very nefarious and, like, it's going to creep in ways that no one's really anticipating, but...
What is patriotic curricula?
I can only imagine. Like, I mean, well, we know that they've been trying to put the Ten Commandments up in schoolrooms across the country, which isn't patriotic, but, like, maybe to them it is. I don't know. I think that they're just going to... Honestly, there is something in my belly that makes me very concerned that this has a lot to do with, like, how we talk about the Civil War and, you know what I mean?
You mean the war between the states?
Yeah, the things that we're going to – there's going to be some rewriting of history for people going into our 250th. And yuck.
This is also – I mean, I'm going to just say this. I think that feeding children disinformation is a form of, like, low-level child abuse because those kids are going to grow up and one day – they are going to encounter somebody who knows the truth, and they are going to feel like the biggest fucking dumbass in the world when they say whatever dumb, like, George Washington had some black friends that lived behind his house. Like, when they say whatever dumb shit they say, the person who knows the truth is going to be like, are you – the look that they're going to give them.
So I have a very real-world example of this. When I was in high school, it was the early 90s, and our textbooks were really outdated. They were from, like – late 70s, maybe. And so we had a health exam on how you could catch HIV/AIDS. And the textbook answer was, so it was multiple choice. It was, you could get it from kissing, you could get it from a toilet seat, you could get it from hugging, or D was all of the above. And the answer was all of the above. And
what?
It was, and so we got our tests back, and almost all of us got the question wrong. And my freedom fighter friend Kara was like, I object. And, like, but the thing is, it's like, that was the last time we ever talked about it, right? Mm-hmm. So if Kara had not stood up, if we had not been like, this is fucking crazy, this can't be right, imagine how many people. Rhinebeck High School would have moved into the world being like, actually, I know the answer to this. And you know what I mean? So it's like what you learn in high school and in school in general is very important.
Totally. You know what? My version of this is I was raised Catholic and I went to a Catholic university. And when I was in the Catholic university, I studied abroad in Greece in a program that involved people from a bunch of different universities from around the country. And we were talking about Greek Orthodox art. There was a class about like art in Orthodox churches. And I remember saying something about, like, yeah, when did they split off from the Catholic Church? And then, like, looking at me and, like, pointing and laughing because, like, the original Christian church was not the Catholic Church.
Right.
But I was always told it was the Catholic Church. We were the original ones and they split off from us. But in reality, there was, like, a bunch of different popes.
Right, right.
Like, I was so, like, everyone looked at me and it was like a scene in The Simpsons where it's like, ha ha, like, everyone.
No.
And I would, like, but it was like. No, I had been taught that my whole life. And I was like, yeah, no, Catholicism is the original. I had gotten, like, the like, patriotic equivalent of, like, a Catholic education, which is, like, we were the real original one. And, like, the Russians and, like, the Greeks or whatever. And then, like, I learned about how there were multiple popes at the same time at one point. And I was just, like, I know. I was sitting there and, like, the focus was, like, changing. It was just – and then I was like, how many other things have I been told that I've been like, ooh, this is – this is actually this is actually incorrect.
This is not right.
No, but like history is already sanitized for elementary school kids because it has to be because it's fucking brutal. It involves a lot of like killing and like horrifying things.
Right.
I shudder to think of how it could possibly be more sanitized, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's not funny, but now that we think about it, I was talking to one of my oldest friends the other day because her daughter's in high school now. And I was like, do they do the stuff that we did in high school? And she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, don't you remember? It was like if you were on honor roll, they took you to see Schindler's List. When we were learning about world history, they're like, you know what? We're going to show you the killing fields to make it real clear what happened in Cambodia and the Khmer Rouge. And I was like, how did we end up okay? And she goes, honestly, chicken, I think it's always why you can't watch bad things before bed. Because every time they would talk about, oh, I know what made me think of it. When they talk about how when the teacher used to wheel the TV in and it was like, oh, like you were getting the day off. Like for us, it was like some catastrophic event in history that we were going to watch. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah, it was something.
I mean, history is brutal and human beings have been evil to each other. And like, there is one thing to like protect children's innocence and to give them a sense that like, hey, look, this country's flawed, but it's your country.
Right. You have choices. You can like, be a citizen.
You have choice. Right. And you can make it better. Like you have the power to, you know, whatever. It was designed so that people who lived here could make it better. And it's not always used as it's designed. Right. But hypothetically, that's why it was made the way it was made.
Right.
And it's we've really messed it up quite a bit. But like there's still a way to like teach that reality and also teach like a hopefulness and an optimism about having the power to make things better. Especially now, but God, these kids are going to get embarrassed in college.
Yeah.
If they go to college.
I mean, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, they've got to. There's no like kids always rebel, right? There's something that makes me think, like,
yeah,
how many ex-Christians do you know who are like, oh my God, we used to get indoctrinated with like VeggieTales and all this
stuff?
Oh
yeah, a lot.
Yeah, like I feel like the retention rate of this model is going to be low,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's why they're trying to do it in such bulk because they know that this shit's lame,
right?
And they know that like kids are going to reject it en masse, and once they start looking for information themselves, they're going to be like, this shit's lame. You lied to me. You've lied to me about everything.
Right.
I'm dyeing my hair blue.
They're doing the most they can as fast as they can right now.
Exactly. And you know what? I don't know if it's going to stick. Maybe that's my optimism. Is
yeah,
me being
you know
like,
what?
All right, guys, try it. I was researching one of the people we're talking about today on the show later, a little preview. And I learned yesterday that something exists called like Chinchilla, which is a conservative cartoon. It's
oh,
like a
really?
Yeah, and Rob Schneider is one of the voices in
really?
It, and Matt Walsh is one of the voices in it. Well, what's really funny about Chinchilla, I read about it, and I was like, I'm going to look this up. And I looked it up, and it is like a copy of Bluey. It is a copy of Bluey, but just with like homeschooled hedgehog or chinchillas. Chinchillas that are homeschooled and conservative, but it looks just like Bluey. Like that to me is...
Oh, Chipchilla?
Chipchilla, yes.
Chipchilla. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The right-wing knockoff of Bluey. That's
exactly.
There are several think pieces here about it.
It looks exactly like Bluey, and it's a right-wing knockoff. But that, to me, betrays the fact that this shit is lame. They know that they have no good ideas. They know that this is not interesting to children.
This is such, like, off-brand.
I know. It's like when I went to the store when I was a kid, and my mom wouldn't get us Captain Crunch, but they did have something that was generic called King Vitamin.
Oh,
which was like,
I mean, it's like if you love Jose Cuervo, you'll love Pepe Lopez.
No, this is like King Vitamin. But my point is that like the right wing's attempt to indoctrinate kids, I think, is doomed to fail on most kids because they don't have good ideas. They don't value creativity. And like they're scary. Like they can't hide the fact that they're not safe people.
Right.
So. All right. One more story before we take a break. So ICE raids. Remember how when ICE raids were first happening, people wearing masks, we were like, hey, what's going to prevent people from just randomly putting on masks
Aaron,
and
we
doing
said
crimes?
It. Turns out it's
we
true.
We said it. Turns out it's true. Turns out a lot of criminals were listening to this show and they took our advice. No. This is just a thing that a normal person who wanted to do crimes would do.
Right.
They would say, hey, look, federal law enforcement just puts on a mask, barges in somewhere, starts barking orders and expects to be obeyed, or they like incarcerate people.
Right.
What if I did that? Except instead of incarcerating them, I just did crimes.
Well, and that's what's been happening.
Yeah.
North Carolina and New York.
Yeah, the July budget bill invests over $100 billion in ICE and border enforcement.
Yep.
Now stories have come out of Sicilian.
Leave the Italians out of this.
I mean, they might be involved, but not in this. Now, stories have come out of civilian men exploiting this dynamic, impersonating ICE agents and sexually assaulting immigrant women. They've happened in North Carolina and New York, as you mentioned, Alyssa. It's made possible by the fact that ICE is just fucking sloppy and they don't follow any rules. And because of that, everybody can just go ahead and pretend to be an ICE agent.
Well, because, like, if you look at even the videos that we see online, on the news, to be an ICE agent, I think you just need a vest that you can get at a surplus store and mm-hmm. a mask on your face. You don't have to give your name. There's no serial number, like a badge number like you would have with a police officer. It's just mm-hmm. people who show up in vans, civilian cars, like they don't have a uniform.
Jump out and kidnap people.
They just jump out and they say, you're coming with us, and you don't know what to do. And even in instances when people have done all of the correct legal things, they've stayed in their car. They're like, I'm waiting for my lawyer. My lawyer's on the phone. My lawyer's coming. They like break out the back window and of no consequence. And so, of course, this was the more that we saw those things happening, the more we knew this was going to happen.
Right. And then also, you know, like advocacy groups are telling immigrant communities, like, if ICE agents come, don't run.
Right.
Like, don't, like, there's specific things you're supposed to do. Like, don't, like, just say, like, you're not, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. There's a specific set, but like, basically, resisting ICE can put you in even bigger trouble. And so these women are just already super disenfranchised. They're terrified. And these people are not even ICE agents. But like, ICE created this. ICE created this.
Right.
Like,
The Trump administration created this.
The Trump administration created this. And like, I mean, one thing that I can say that's like good is that California just signed into law a statute that bars people from wearing masks mm-hmm. during law enforcement raids, which I think is like the right move. It's probably going to experience a fight in court. But I mean, if they uphold allowing law enforcement to wear masks...
Look, they should do, give them, like with police officers, give them cameras, give them, you know, like, do it.
Oh, I mean, you know, here's the thing. If those videos were publicly available, I think that, like, public opinion about ICE would go even further south. Like, the terror and harm that these people are inflicting on migrants
right.
who most of the time did nothing wrong except be here. It's like inhumane. It's like, it's disgusting. And, yeah, of course, bad people are exploiting the loopholes that other bad people have
right.
been exploiting. And that's where we're at right now. So, I mean, it's hard to like, I'm not trying to make light of this, but there's a part of me that's like, should we all just have like an extra ICE disguise in our cars? And so like, if ICE shows up somewhere, you just throw it on real quick and you're like, I already got
I'm
it.
I'm with you.
I'm here.
We're here.
I already got it.
Here
go.
First.
I call dibs on this Home Depot parking lot. Get out.
It's literally like the worst storyline that didn't make it into Ocean's 19.
Where everybody just disguises as ICE agents all day.
It's like, we got this.
Yeah. And like, you can't make me identify myself. The federal government says I don't have to. I'm an ICE agent. I'm an ICE agent too. I'm here to arrest them. I think I have to work on my acting. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a problematic figure in the media. Hysteria is brought to you by Honeylove. Oh, Honeylove. Well, you know what? It's the only shapewear that I will wear.
I absolutely agree.
It's like if you take first class on a flight,
you
then
can't go
you
back.
Have another flight later, like close to the first class flight, and it's like economy class, and you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Right? That's wearing Honeylove shapewear and then ever trying to go back. So I recommend not going back to anything else.
Don't go back. Fall style is all about layering, and there's no better base layer than high-quality, comfortable shapewear. Whether you're dressing up for weddings and date nights or getting cozy in sweaters and boots, let's talk about what's underneath, because the right shapewear makes everything look and feel
better. Today's episode is brought to you by Honeylove, the brand redefining modern shapewear with real comfort and serious support. Honeylove's targeted compression works with your body, not against it, giving you sculpted support where it counts and easing up where you need flexibility. And thanks to flexible boning hidden in the seams, it actually stays put. No rolling, no adjusting, no awkward tugging under your layers, no matter how much you move. Erin, the rolling down is the worst part of other shapewears.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The rolling down and the feeling like constricted. Like, I know I talk about lying down a lot, but for me, the mark of like really good shapewear is when you are comfortable like sitting in it, standing, socializing, dancing. But also, like, if you lie down after a night of all of those things, I want to be able to fall asleep in it and not wake up and be like, ah,
oh no, like, my guts are constricted.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the best part. For a limited time, you can save 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/hysteria. Support the show and elevate your fall wardrobe at honeylove.com/hysteria.
Treat yourself to the most comfortable shapewear on earth and save 20% off site-wide at honeylove.com/hysteria. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/hysteria. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Experience the new standard in shapewear with Honeylove.
Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who did not get raptured on Tuesday.
No, I learned all about it,
too. Do you know anyone who got raptured?
No.
Have you seen any, like, empty pants and shoes and shirts just, like, laying on the sidewalk?
I haven't, but I did see on TikTok that you should be really hopeful that when the rapture comes, you're not on the toilet. I read that.
It's really...
Because you know what? I had no fucking idea what the rapture was, so I was like, let me get into this. And boy, did I get an eyeful.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot. Catholics don't believe in it. I think it's fun. I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be fun. It'd be fun to just watch people floating. I definitely do not expect to be raptured if there's any kind of rapture going on.
No.
I'm not going to be included.
They didn't take Donald Trump.
No, they didn't take Donald Trump. And then also, you know, the thing about, like, your clothes get left behind or whatever.
Right.
Do we all get raptured up to heaven? Like, let's hypothetically say we're getting raptured. Do we go up naked?
Like, maybe there's, like, a white robe. Clothes. There's, like, there's, like, a robe or a shroud or a caftan situation.
So we all get, like, a ghost caftan.
Yeah.
And float it up, but we leave our regular clothes behind.
Right.
Because it would be kind of funny if everyone got naked raptured, where
that
it's, like—
so cold.
It would be cold and also, like—
I don't want to leave my Birkenstocks behind.
But I think maybe that could be the final test. They rapture everyone and we're naked and they can read your thoughts in, like, the heaven waiting room, purgatory, we'll call it.
Right.
And anybody who's being judgmental about other people's naked bodies after the rapture—
doesn't get in?
Nope, doesn't get in. Mm. It's a final trick.
It's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah. See, I wouldn't judge. If people had funny bodies, I would just be like, I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, my God. It's like when you go to, like, a Korean spa and everyone's just naked and within 5 minutes, it's just like,
this is great. Yeah.
Everyone's got a body. I got a body.
We all got bodies.
Old ladies here have a body. Everybody's got a body. All right. Let's talk a little bit about Candace Owens.
Okay.
I don't think she got raptured.
No, she didn't.
No, she didn't get raptured.
No, she didn't because I watched her video from last night, so she's still here.
Oh, God. Alyssa, you've been watching, like, hours of her content, haven't you?
I did. I've watched hours. Because you have to know, you know, you've got to know what you're up against.
Right. So here's why we want to talk about her. Like last week, we mentioned that we kind of had dipped our toes into Candace Owens land for the first time. Like, and a lot of people are watching Candace Owens videos right now.
Shocking.
Her videos and her popularity has really been on a rocket ship mm-hmm. this year, especially. She has surpassed Joe Rogan on the podcast charts, Girl Power. We did it, feminism. We did it, Joe. But, like, we think, you know, there's a lot of people who are curious about her and a lot of people who might otherwise seem like perfectly reasonable people in your social media followings
right.
that are now sharing Candace Owens content. So we wanted to put together this little explainer for you to share with them. It's just like, listen to her if that's what tickles your fancy, but just know who you're listening to mm-hmm. and know a little bit about her history. She's really good at what she does, but what she does is kind of dangerous.
Right, but hard yeah. worker.
Hard worker. And like, you know, like I said last week, I think she's a very compelling communicator. Mm-hmm. I also think she's smarter than all the other people on the right.
Without question. I mean, the thing that got me watching her video yesterday is that she was doing some conspiracy theories around Charlie Kirk's assassination. And I mean, I will say she was like, and then this person sent me this video and I called them. And I mean, she was like, you know.
She's reporting. She's like reporting and showing it
under
the hood.
She's Mag and Nancy Drew on the case.
She is Nancy Drewing. And that's what she does. She does that on issues that are of interest to people in between doing things that are extremely problematic. Like she's smarter than all of them, mm-hmm. I think. I think she's even, and I'm saying this like, this is the only nice thing I'm going to say about Megyn Kelly. I think Megyn Kelly is very smart. Mm. I think she's smarter than Megyn Kelly.
I do too. I do too.
And I think that she's willing to ask questions. Candace Owens is willing to ask questions mm-hmm. that people in the mainstream media might be curious about but afraid to ask.
Yeah.
And I think she's really good at identifying stories that the public wants to see her Nancy Drew on, that the public wants investigating. And I think that she's kind of, she's a little bit like Oprah for the Upside Down, you know, from Stranger Things.
Oh, no,
like
I know.
Like evil Oprah.
Oprah. She is, I would definitely say she is evil Oprah. Erin, should we do a little of her background?
Yeah, let's do her background.
Okay, so she grew up not very well off in a mostly white town in Connecticut. When she was in high school, a group of boys from her high school left her obscene and racist voicemails. One of the boys was the son of a guy who would go on to be governor of Connecticut. Yikes.
Yikes. They were literally like a gang of bad white boys from a Lifetime movie.
That's what it like, sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. Like it was like racial slurs, just like horrific. They were saying horrific things to her. But that led to her winning a $35,000 settlement mm-hmm. From her school district. And then, you know, eventually she launched a Kickstarter for a project called Social Autopsy. She said the goal of Social Autopsy was to create a database of online bullies. So she meant for it to be like a tool
right.
to fight bullying. Critics pointed out that this actually could just be a giant doxing mm-hmm. machine that would be easy to abuse. And the project eventually collapsed because she got into a public spat with another anti-bullying activist who had been targeted by the Gamergate campaign, which was happening at the time. Do you remember that?
I do.
Wild years.
I do.
Oh, my God. Woof. We're going to have to do a whole show on Gamergate sometime.
So Owen said that the experience turned her into a conservative overnight. She started posting conservative content online around the time of the 2016 election under the name Red Pill Black. Her first viral moment was her 2017 response to the violence that broke out at the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, where she called concerns over rising white nationalism stupid. And Trump applauded her for her point. That same year, she joined Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA as director of urban engagements. She later also served as the organization's communications director. In 2018, she founded her own organization, Blexit, which has since merged with TPUSA. Blexit encouraged Black people to stop voting for Democrats.
Yeah, and the Black Lives Matter movement was another thing that she identified as a cultural hot point mm-hmm. and just really exploited it. She made a Daily Wire anti-Black Lives Matter documentary smearing George Floyd, and she claimed that he died from a fentanyl overdose and not asphyxiation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not great. Around that time, she started her long and storied friendship with Kanye West, who was at the time in the middle of going fucking insane. Mm. This was like not cool Kanye West.
No, this was
who
this
made
is
good
bad
music.
Kanye.
This was Kanye. He's taken a turn, and it's not a good turn. She and West attended Fashion Week together wearing White Lives Matter t t-shirts. And during an interview with him on TMZ, she described slavery of Black Americans as a choice.
Oh.
Shortly later, Kanye West lost his Adidas deal over tweeting that he was going DEFCON 3 on Jewish people.
Okay. Yeah.
So a lot of anti-Semitism.
Now, this upset some of Owen's Jewish mentors like Ben Shapiro and Dennis Prager, but she kept getting more famous. She met her future husband, the son of a British billionaire, at an event in the UK where she said some weird things about Hitler. He proposed to her 17 days later.
And now she has 4 kids. And she looks great. Can we just be
100%?
Has 4 kids, looks great. She's a trad wife. Mm. She advocates against things like body acceptance. She advocates against things like wearing yoga pants outside of the house.
Really?
She thinks that women should always be. I have like printed out this stack of like stuff because I'm old now and I prefer to like do research on printed stuff. But she really like gloms on to things that eventually become big like cultural mm-hmm. like flashpoints. And I think that's something that she is better at than just about anybody. Like reading about Candace Owens, I was like, oh my God, she walked so Evie Magazine could run. And we're
gonna talk a little bit more
about Evie Magazine later this episode. But she's really like tried to position herself now, not as someone who's a political commentator, mm-hmm. which is like what's kind of dangerous about her, because she's really good at just jumping on things that are more cultural stories and examining in a way that doesn't feel partisan.
Right.
And that's how a lot of people are introduced to her. So, like, she's all over the, you know, Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni thing. Mm-hmm. And that's how a lot of people got to know her content. But, you know, while she was doing this sort of, like, I'm just asking questions, like, investigating thing, you know, she also was doing stuff like making an 8-part documentary claiming that the president of Emmanuel Macron, that his wife is a man. And now she's getting sued for a lot of money. And yep. the most recent news about that is that Brigitte Macron has announced that she will provide the court with scientific and photographic evidence that she is a woman.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, like, that's fucking gross.
So
but
gross.
It's like Candace kind of, like, layers stuff that's like, oh, this is, like, interesting. And she's pretty good at talking with stuff that's like, oh, my God, that's vile.
Mm-hmm.
That's vile. And all the whole time, she sort of positioned herself as, like, someone who is transcending political parties. She is like a mom. She is speaking for people who are not seeing themselves represented, and not racially, but like in terms of their concerns about their children.
She really positions herself as an investigative journalist, you know, like yeah. that she is on the beat, like that she will get to the bottom of it. And when she talks through her process, you're like, okay. She's putting the work in, you know, it's
right.
just, it is, it's, but that's why I watch so many of her videos, because I'm like, she's not going to get me. And she doesn't get me, but I can see how other people who do not approach her with skepticism would be like, oh my God, this girl's going to, she's going to figure out who really
she's
killed Charlie Kirk.
Out.
Like
right.
that's, I mean, exactly. 100, that's exactly where you leave her video from yesterday, which had over like 2.8 million views, which was like, FBI, she took credit for Kash Patel's tweet where he listed out all of these different theories around Charlie Kirk's death, and he said they were going to investigate them all. And she made this video to be like, I take credit for this. This is because of us. But she also engages her audience in a way that I don't think anybody else does. She makes mm-hmm. them like part of her team. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She's like, you guys keep sending this to me. It's your tips that are getting me there. Like, I'm going to bring this to you. It's like there's a real community feeling, like not my community, but there's a real community feeling that like she's in it for them and she's like their sort of like vehicle or you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like that she's like,
right.
they're giving her everything and she's going to run it down for them. And it's,
right. it's like
it's a
it's
real
like,
give and take.
It's like a lawyer, having a lawyer on
right,
a retainer.
Exactly.
Where you're like, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And they're like, got it. And they're like a really good lawyer.
Right.
And they come back with like stuff. The thing about conservative like journalism or like Candace Owens style of journalism is I have found that while she tells a compelling story and she is really good at putting together a set of facts in a specific way to make it seem like the conclusion is what she thinks it is, a lot of her work needs to be checked because, like,
right.
it's not quite, you know, she'll say something with confidence and she'll kind of like speed run through a bunch of things that are facts, but not all of those facts are actually facts.
Right.
You know, there'll be like cherry picked bits of information that may be true, but she is relying on them to be true in order to meet her conclusion when like the premise is not quite all the way there.
Right.
She has also gotten into a fight with Cardi B. Look at all this shit that I like printed out about her. She is very anti-trans.
Mm-hmm.
She is, I would say, rabidly anti-Semitic.
Yes. Yes.
So she's
very dangerous.
She's rabidly anti-Semitic. I feel like a lot of people are saying, like, look, this woman is criticizing Israel. I also think what Israel is doing is bad in Gaza. So she and I are similar. It's like, no. She got to criticizing Israel by just hating the Jews.
Exactly.
You got to criticizing Israel through caring about human rights. You're not the same.
But the intersection does happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it is how, like, it's an interesting thing. She is also rabidly anti-vax and has been anti-vax. None of her kids are vaccinated. And
she says, you're correct.
She says none of her kids are vaccinated. But it's how a lot of the very left MAHA wellness people found her.
Yeah, exactly. She really kind of like casts a wide net and some of the people she loses. But I think that when it comes to somebody who is like a pipeliner like mm-hmm. her, it doesn't really matter about, like, it doesn't matter if she retains everybody. Like, the point of somebody like her and how someone like her functions in the right-wing media ecosystem is that she captures just enough to, like, make them hardcore.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, something else I want to say about her is, like, she did an interview with Evie Magazine, which is, like, very funny. Evie Magazine, you're my new favorite magazine, the conservative magazine that was funded in part by advertising money from Peter Thiel. Mm-hmm. She had this profile with all these, like, glamour shots and stuff. Apparently, before they could actually do the photo shoot, every single stylist pulled out. They had to find, like, a new style. They had to go through, like, four stylists, and they finally found, like, a fifth one. She loves to compare slavery, like, voting for the Democratic Party to a form of slavery.
Woo!
She's just, like, she says things that are, like, really off the wall, especially when it comes—oh, she's blamed Jews for the assassination of JFK.
Yeah.
Which, like, I love a conspiracy, guys. Everyone who listens knows I love a conspiracy. I don't think that Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK, but I absolutely do not believe that Israel had anything to do with it. Come on.
Or Jewish
no
people.
Way. Or Jewish people. No way. No way. I also, like, she also has questioned the moon landing, which has actually been something that me and my dad have gotten in a fight over because I, too, have questioned the moon landing. She said in this Evie piece that the welfare system was created to marry Black Americans to the government. I think an important thing to remember about Candace Owens is that she is presenting a Black perspective for a white audience that wants to be absolved.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't think she's reaching that many Black people. I don't think very many Black people trust her.
I would think that's true.
Yeah. So I just want – the reason we wanted to talk about her just in general is, like, a lot of people are watching her.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to watch her when it comes to what she's doing with, like, the Charlie Kirk assassination – I don't blame you. I think that what she's doing is
honestly, some of it was very interesting.
Interesting, right?
It may not be true, but it is interesting.
All we're saying is you are not a sucker. Your friends are not suckers. This is how normal people get suckered. So don't be a sucker.
Right.
Know who she is, know what she's stood for, and know what she does. And even though some of what she does is interesting, the vast majority of what she has done
is malevolent.
Really malevolent. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the magazine that ran since Candace walked. Hysteria is brought to you by Smalls. Let's rewind to 2007.
Okay.
February. Erin is just at the absolute bottom of not having her life together whatsoever. Sad day at work, took a break, went to a no-kill animal shelter, ended up meeting the cat that would eventually still be my cat.
Be your life partner.
Like 18 years later, 18 and a half years later, every single month, I'm like, all right, well, this is it.
No.
And I'm like Googling. No.
No.
This morning
she's
was playing with a light reflection. I don't know. She looks like a little, one of those skeletons you get at Michael's for Halloween. She's so skinny. She weighs like 3 pounds. She's so skinny now, but she's still alive somehow. And I think part of that reason is that for her entire life, she has eaten better than me.
That's how it goes.
Before she had to go on her prescription diet, because like all old cats, she's got some kidney stuff going on. She was eating smalls and she was loving it. She was absolutely living it up. Absolutely loving Smalls. This podcast is sponsored by Smalls. If you're a listener of the show, you know my cat cannot live without Smalls. No, that's true. She's still alive.
And
thanks a lot. And she's gross.
And my cat with a sensitive tummy, she loves the Smalls and it makes her poops not so catastrophic.
That's to get 60% off your first order plus free shipping, head to smalls.com/hysteria for a limited time only. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. That's why cats.com named Smalls their best overall cat food. Still not a believer in Smalls? Forbes ranked Smalls the best overall cat food, while BuzzFeed said my cats went completely ballistic for all this stuff. Smalls also has a bunch of amazing treats and snacks you can add to your order. My cats love all of it. My cats mostly love the meals.
Like it's so easy.
It doesn't really matter what flavor they're like. My cat's not picky. I mean,
well, she was picky until Smalls.
She was picky. After switching to Smalls, 88% of cat owners reported overall health improvements. That's a big deal. Have a particularly picky cat? Smalls has a sampler. Or a flight, if you will. So your cat can try everything Smalls has to offer. And the team at Smalls is so confident your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. This means they'll refund you if your cat won't eat their food.
What are you waiting for? Give your cat the food they deserve. For a limited time only, because you are an Hysteria listener, you can get 60% off your first Smalls order plus free shipping when you head to smalls.com/hysteria. That's 60% off when you head to smalls.com/hysteria plus free shipping. Again, that's smalls.com/hysteria.
Hey, Crooked listeners. If you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that will not pipeline you.
No, never.
If you're with us, you're with us. Like we don't hide anything. We don't try to pretend we're anything that we're not. So the Candace Owens phenomenon creeping into the mainstream is part of a larger trend of women falling into the alt-right or MAGA pipeline, which we will refer to as the funnel.
The funnel.
Easy to digest cultural stories or harmless parenting advice can capture women before they get sucked into much darker, more conservative ideas. Alyssa and I are both subscribers to Evie Magazine. Do you have your copy with you?
I don't have my copy with me.
Mine's sitting on my desk, and I kind of was like, should I put this away? And I was like, no, I kind of like want people to walk past my desk and be like, what is she doing?
What is this?
What is she doing? We aren't calling women stupid for slipping down the funnel. You start with TikTok pages about women embracing their natural features, like your imperfect teeth in a world of veneers, which is like, yay, yes,
right.
I agree with that. But then the next thing you know, you're scrolling the website and you're coming across articles with titles like The Feminine Cost of Losing Charlie Kirk and I'm Happier When I'm Skinny.
Mm-hmm.
We're glad you made your way to Hysteria, though, because that means you're less likely to fall down this path. But even so, we need to stay alert about the information making its way into our feeds. Alyssa, what are some, like, Evie stories if you're looking at the website now, what are some that you would be like, oh, this is like top of the funnel?
Wait, stand by. Because yeah. I did a little, they, for some reason, I don't know why, Evie magazine stories always populate. Like when I open up Instagram, it's one of the first three stories.
Same. Okay. I had to unfollow them.
So let me just go through because this, they're, the way that they do Instagram stories is pretty genius. So let me, I wrote down all of the stories that they posted in their stories today. One, how to make college count if you want to marry and have a family after graduation. Two, the Halloween decor that won't ruin your aesthetic. Okay.
Oh, I click on that.
Right. Wait.
I mean, I don't really have an aesthetic, but I'd like to know about how not to ruin it.
Story number three, everyone is talking about weight blindness. This is actually just body dysmorphia. Number four, 10 places to see fall foliage. I'd click on that. Number five, Dr. John Money, father of gender theory, was a pedophilic apologist.
Oh my God.
Six, abortion marketing reaches new low in targeting children with American Girl dolls. Wait.
Oh my God.
Here was one story that I read that was actually charming and lovely. What Fashion Week really looks like when you're not on the A-list. I was like, this is a cute story. I read all of these. And
right. Okay.
Number eight, women hold the key to ending America's cycle of political violence. Now, that one was the one I thought would be the most sus and was actually the most vanilla. But
interesting.
But like, so any one of those, you'd be like, oh, this is Halloween, click, and that, but it's like the whole slippery slope, and you end up with all of those stories, and you're like, well, this doesn't sound so bad. Some of them are quite bad.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about those stories is like, yeah, it ropes you in by saying like, oh, you like pop culture, you like decorating, mm-hmm. you like this. And all of a sudden, you're deep in a Halloween story and it's like, do you know Halloween's satanic, right? Like you shouldn't be doing Halloween.
New witches.
Yeah. And, you know, the magazine kind of purports to be like, it's just for like feminine women, for femininity, blah, 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 blah. But something that I've noticed about Evie is that it does not have any articles, or if it does, they're very rare, that address any relationship outside of a marital relationship with a man. They're all advice about
what?
Relationship with a man. Yeah. They're not like, hey, like you and your sister have like
100%.
Nothing about your sister, nothing about
your mother.
There is, right.
Friend.
There is one that I just pulled out, mm-hmm. pulled up, that, which is like insulting and ridiculous, but the headline is World Childless Week, what it's like being a member in the worst club ever and how to show up for a friend who's in it. Now, this is all, again, it's not actually really about showing up for a friend. It's about reinforcing the fact that the only meaning in your life can come through getting married and having kids.
Right.
Like that's what this magazine is trying to do. It's trying to drill into young women that the only way to derive meaning from your life is to get married to a man and let him put sperm in you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it. And it's really troubling because I think that if somebody just read this and this was their primary source of, like, cultural, you know,
right.
information, they would really end up with, like, a fucked up set of priorities about, like, how to be happy.
Right, but you can see how it infiltrates your feed. And then you're like, this is okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's also these like, there are news stories that I find are magnified and amplified online. And it seems like they're magnified and amplified by maybe some like bots, maybe some political astroturfing, whatever. And one of them was the horrible story of the Ukrainian immigrant woman who was stabbed to death on public transportation.
Oh, yeah.
And the original story, and the assailant was a black man, and so this is like catnip for any kind of outlet that's pushing a like racist agenda.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like you see, this is what they do, right? That's the racist right. agenda that they're trying to push. But the way that Evie was presenting the story is like, oh, this horrible thing happened to this beautiful woman, and there are all these glamour shots of her. She's this beautiful Ukrainian woman with blonde hair, and it just sort of. You could see, like, as somebody that has a little bit more life experience than the average, like, 22-year-old Instagram
right,
scroller,
right.
you can see what they're doing.
Right.
Is that they're furthering this message that non-white men are here to victimize you.
Right.
As a white woman, you are in danger. You are in danger because of these, like, dark men. And, like, what's crazy about that story is, you know, I was in, I went to like my kids' parent-teacher conferences at a preschool, and I was talking to one of the teachers, and I made an offhanded comment about how like it was a stressful week at work mm-hmm. because of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and I'm in like a similar business that he's in, and like political violence is very scary. And she's like, yeah, the violence is getting really bad. I saw a video of that, what happened to that girl on that train, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
And like, those are the people that are getting mm-hmm. this. And it's like, and I also think that something that Evie is doing really hard, and a lot of outlets are doing right now, is really, really promoting Erica Kirk.
Yes, that was the one thing that had ended up in my feed, I think, more than anything else. It was her powerful message to married couples.
Yeah. Yep, she's got a powerful message to married couples. I'm not sure what it is. I haven't clicked on the article. What I think is interesting is, like, you know, Jimmy Kimmel mentioned this in his monologue on Tuesday when he returned, that Erica Kirk actually did have some nice things to say
right.
during that funeral, like the fact that she called for, you know, she forgave mm-hmm. her husband's killer, and she, you know, called for forgiveness and grace. And, like, I think that all of us are relieved that she wasn't, you know, that she was, like, able to do
yeah,
that.
Of course.
She had the strength to do that. But, like, the powerful message to married couples, like, that was a powerful message to America.
It
like,
was. Well, but because also, though, what she said in her speech was that women, that men need to lead their families, women need to, like, she was pretty direct, but there was like a little nuance that made it a little bit more like, she's like, women need to follow their husbands, but they're not sheep. She didn't say sheep, but she used some word like that. So mm-hmm. it was like, it's not a message that appeals to me, but it was maybe a little moderated from the, like, the man. It was different than Pete Hegseth's pastor, who's like, women shouldn't have the right to vote, men should have the vote for the whole family. It wasn't that, mm-hmm. but it was a shade of that.
Yeah. I mean, another thing that, you know, again, scrolling through Evie, these are messages that conservative entities are pushing. Like, I think grassroots conservative movements and organizations are kind of rare because there's so much money behind fake grassroots organizations and fake movements. And Evie is no exception. There's like money behind mm-hmm. this. And something that I see all the time is like, saying like, oh, let's put an end to skinny shaming, like encouraging women to be thin, like anti-body positivity, anti-body acceptance.
There's also, it's very anti-birth control.
Anti-birth control. Study confirms birth control shot is linked to
brain tumors. And there's a lot of like health and wellness about like how you can regulate your period with food mm-hmm. and that there are ways you don't need birth control. And it's all very like, do you remember the movie How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days? With Kate. So she works at a women's magazine, and one of the funniest scenes in the movie is when they're all pitching these really dark show, like dark topics, and they're like, how so-and-so got like a viral disease from the manicurist, but make it upbeat. That's kind of like what Evie is. You know, it's like the darkest stuff, right. but make it upbeat.
Right. And a lot of the stories present the reader as somehow in opposition to some dominant culture. Like, there's always a tone of the art in the articles that is like, everyone's saying that this isn't okay, but you're okay here. Like, an example, like, I read a few months ago an article about, like, virginity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not shameful to be a virgin. And, like, the article presented it as if the rest of the world was going to shame
exactly.
you for being a virgin. Which is
That is
true.
Not a popular opinion. No one's like, mm-hmm. virgins are disgusting.
No, this is in 1999.
This
you know what I mean?
Right, like
It's like whatever.
But also, they're very pro skinny. They're also very anti GLP ones.
They're anti Ozempic for
yes.
sure, which is another thing that I think, I really think Evie like kind of just copied and pasted Candace Owens from 5 years ago or 3 years ago. And like now that's basically their entire front page. But yeah, they're very anti Ozempic. They're pro skinny. They're pro having kids. In the magazine, there is a suggested BMI that women should have.
Yeah.
And it's between 18 and 21, because that is like maximum fertility, they said.
Yes.
Based on, I don't know. They have cooking tips that Alyssa and I have made fun of thoroughly that make it seem like.
Let's talk about how to make a chicken.
Oh, yeah. There was like a roast chicken
the
recipe,
roast chicken
and it's like,
was hilarious.
Roast the chicken. Like, the steps were one.
I don't even think there was a temperature.
No, they didn't have a temperature. yeah, it's all about like funneling women toward wifehood. They also hate surrogacy. They are very anti-surrogacy.
There have been a couple articles on surrogacy.
But here's, look, I know. I'm critical of surrogacy, but it's like me and Candace Owens both being critical of Israel. They're coming to criticism
very
of
different
surrogacy.
Places.
Yes,
very different places.
Exactly. They're coming to criticism of surrogacy from a perspective of being like, people should be adopting out their babies to Christian couples.
Yes.
I think that adoption is like a huge thing in Evie Magazine and like encouraging adoption and completely ignoring
it's
any
also
trauma.
their roundabout way of being anti-gay.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it is a roundabout way of being anti-gay. My opposition to surrogacy has nothing
to do with that. But there are shades of that in some of what they've written.
Yeah, and they're also kind of skeptical of IVF. They don't love it. They're very anti-abortion. And yeah, this is the sort of thing that if I had a relative who was a teenage girl,
mm-hmm.
and she wanted to read magazines for women or wanted to take in women's media, but I was not comfortable with her like reading the Cosmo sex tips.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that if I were not the most media savvy person or didn't have the time to go through everything, this is the sort of thing I'd be like, look, this doesn't have nudity.
This is vanilla enough.
Right.
Right, but it's not.
It's not. I would much rather my kids read something that like acknowledges.
But
the
there are
of
things
sex.
That they do, Erin. Like I said, because it ends up in my feed. I don't. I think it's probably because I've interacted. But a lot of specifically their Instagram posts are very innocuous. You know, it's like it's conservative, but they use a lot of cultural icons who. In most conservative magazines, if they're not known to be conservative, they don't highlight them, right? So they have mm-hmm. something that's like Meg Ryan Fall, how to get your Meg Ryan Fall. So when you're scrolling and you're like, oh, Meg Ryan, when Harry met Sally, and then you're like, oh my God, this is Evie. You know,
yeah.
like there's Reese Witherspoon, you know, like people all blonde and white, but
mm-hmm.
that all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, like they're, it seems, I don't want to say it's like a trick, but it is something that I'm like, that gets someone like me to stop and look at it for a second longer than I normally would.
Yeah. And there's also this through line of like, give your husband sex whenever he wants. Like, you do not have sex before you're married, but once you're married, you give him sex
Get
whenever
on
you
it.
Want. I have an article open right now called I Grieved Through My Vagina and It Healed Me.
Stop.
And I was like, what? How do you grieve through your vagina? You know what it's about?
What?
Having sex. It's about having sex with your husband. When you're sad, try having sex with your husband. That might help.
Oh, wow.
What if you have sex with your husband? If you have a friend that died, maybe have sex with your husband.
Oh,
like
that,
if you
that would not,
you're having a bad day.
That wouldn't help me.
Try having sex with your husband. Alyssa, you feeling a little down about the state of the world? Have you tried having sex with your husband?
That is hilarious.
Yeah. It is grieving through your vagina and there's also tips on how to have sex where you grieve through your vagina. And it's gross. They're gross tips, and I don't like it.
No, we're not going to share those tips.
No, we're not going to share
those
tips. Anyway, so I think that, like, we should all kind of have our antennae up
yeah.
for people in our lives as women, who normies, who are maybe not people that spend all day reading the news, maybe not people who, like, studied literature or media studies or whatever when they were in college. People that are just completely normal people that could easily be roped in to people
yeah.
like Candace Owens and to Evie Magazine, which is basically a copy of Candace Owens. You got to keep an eye on it, because in the next few years, Republicans are going to need more women to peel off from, you know, the Democrats and vote for them. And this is one of the ways that they're trying to do it. They're trying to soften their message. They're trying to create a club where, like, women who are scared of things in the world can gather and be scared. And then they're trying to get you to vote for things that are not in your best interest.
And they often diagnose the problem correctly. It is their cure that is catastrophic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Sani Petty. Hysteria is brought to you by Naked Wines. Ever walk into a store and have no idea what wine to get?
Oh,
no. But there was a time in my life when the answer was yes. No, Alyssa, I'm so set in my ways when it comes to wine. That I really, the reason I like Naked Wines is because it helps me break out.
Branch out, 100%.
Of my habits. Like, I have my old, like, my go-to reliables, brand, type, like, every, it's like a Sauvignon Blanc 99% of the time.
Totally.
Right?
Yes.
But, you know, there's nothing that seems, there's nothing that screams summer like a good bottle of chilled rosé. Right?
Exactly. And there's only one rosé that I have historically bought in the past three summers. And this summer, Naked Wines branched me out. And they were all delicious.
Naked is a wine club that directly connects you to the world's best independent winemakers so you can get world-class wine delivered straight to your door. Use our code Hysteria for the code and password at nakedwines.com and get six bottles for just $39.99. So here's how they do it. Naked brings you amazing wine straight from the winery at up to 60% less than what you'd pay in the store. By cutting out extra costs like middleman markups, winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality. So if you want to become a customer of Naked Wines, you go to the website and it asks you some questions about like what you like and what you're willing to try and if you want to branch out. And then you get a box with several wines in it.
Yeah.
And some of them are probably just like playing the hits. And some of them are like B-sides and tracks from the new album.
Naked Wines has been around for over 15 years and backs over 90 independent winemakers around the world to make the wine you love to drink. Now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/hysteria, click enter voucher, and put in our code Hysteria for both the code and password for six bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off your first six bottles at nakedwines.com/hysteria and use the code and password Hysteria for six bottles of wine for $39.99.
Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who know that Jesus pretty famously didn't like having merch tables at church.
No.
He like flipped them. He was like real mad.
He really wasn't part of his whole vibe.
Nope. Don't have a merch table at the church. I'm just saying that for no particular reason. Before we get into Sani Petty, some announcements for the class. In light of the Jimmy Kimmel news, Crooked Media is lucky to have one of his writers in our very own network. Louis Vertel, host of Keep It and Kimmel Writer, shares his own experiences on this week's episode surrounding the news, and he's joined by fellow comic genius Guy Branum. Tune in to Keep It now wherever you get your podcasts or watch on YouTube. All right, now let's get to Sani Petty. I've got something that is a Sani and a Petty.
Okay.
Remember last week when somebody in the UK projected images of Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump on the side of Windsor Castle in time for Trump's visit to the UK? Well, there's some more Epstein stuff. We're not going to let this go.
We can't.
Trump wants to let it go. We can't let it go. This is too crazy. A massive statue depicting Donald Trump and late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein holding hands.
Holding hands in D.C., right?
Has appeared on the National Mall as the months-long Epstein file saga continues to haunt the administration just in time for spooky season. It's a big statue. It's 12 feet tall, same size as that Home Depot skeleton, just so you understand. It is a big,
that is so
big
funny.
Statue. It is a combination of foam, resin, wood, and wire, and they're standing on pedestals holding hands and smiling at one another. They look like dear friends, and they were dear friends.
They were dear friends.
As evidenced by the fact that he wrote a birthday letter to him that was included in that very gross birthday book, where he drew boobs that appear to be pre-pubescent pubescent or barely pubescent. And yeah, he's in the files quite a bit. And we still don't know the extent of what's in them, but I don't think that that's going away as much, as hard as they're trying.
No, people are still on it.
People are still on it. And that's it. That's what's making me feel, Sanny.
I have a Sanny.
That petty move. Okay, what's yours?
Have you heard about the women in Tools?
No.
Okay, this is like, it's the women in Tools prank. I think it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I was crying laughing. Was that just Caroline? Did she just?
Yeah.
Okay. So it is, all of these women have set up their phones and they start recording and they just silently, without saying a word, they're sitting with their husbands. They're in the same room as their husbands. They just get up, walk outside and pick up a bunch of fucking tools, ladders, chainsaws, and just come back and walk past their husbands and go upstairs. And the men, they're like sitting, the men are sitting at like either at their computers or like reading something, and they look up and none of them say a word. And they're just like, hmm. And then the woman sets her camera up in the other room and she goes up to a bedroom upstairs and she starts just turning the tools on and like banging her fists against the wall. It is, and all of a sudden you hear like, hey, what are you doing up there? What are you doing? Martha, what do you got up there? It's like, and then some of them come running upstairs like, what are you doing? What are you doing? They're just supposed to use that. It is, I've never seen men move faster in my entire life. It is one of the funniest things. But I thought about it. And you know why it wouldn't work for you and I?
Because we use our tools.
I think we're the people in our family who are more tool forward. And so like if DK were sitting on the sofa and I just like came in with a ladder, he'd look up, but he'd probably look back down. Just be like, she must be up to something.
I would say I'm not more tool forward than Josh, but I would say that we're like equally tool.
You're forward enough that he wouldn't like question you having a power drill.
He would be like, let me help you with that. Like, why are you doing that? Why are you climbing the ladder? You don't have to climb the ladder. Like, he would want to be the one to do it.
Oh, see, I'm very much like, I'm good. Sit back down. Just going out to the garage, fix the door.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Funny. He like, if like I want to do something, if I voice a preference, he'll let me do it. But usually he like wants to be the one to like put stuff together or like,
I know, but
take stuff apart.
These videos are so funny. There's just such wholesome goodness, you know?
A chainsaw.
Just bringing in one woman just brought in a leaf blower. It's like, and her husband's like, I don't know. You see his wheels going, you're like, I don't know what to do. Why could she have the wheel blower, like leaf blower, but do I want to get involved here? And they always get involved. They can't help themselves.
I think going past somebody with any sort of heavy tool, like without saying anything, like if I were to just go outside and come back in, I don't think I have a hatchet, but if I was just come back in with my biggest shears and like walk toward my bedroom, my husband would be
so
like,
funny. I'm going to send you some of these videos. They're so funny.
Oh my God, please do. I can't wait. Cause I sometimes we just need to laugh.
That's it. It just made me laugh. And then there were more and some videos were way funnier than others. And I was just like, this is delightful.
You know what? I really like videos, now that you're mentioning it. I like videos of people telling ChatGPT to do things that it doesn't want to do. 100%.
Hilarious.
And like, you know, talk like a baby. I don't think I'm going to do that.
It's like, you know, there was one where a guy asked for a recipe and the ChatGPT was like, gather your ingredients. And he's like, what ingredients? And ChatGPT is like, the ingredients.
Oh my God.
That's hilarious.
Another Sanny thing, and I finally remembered what like my original one was. Facebook, aka Meta, mm-hmm. did a product demonstration for its AI, and it didn't work.
That's funny.
The product demonstration was supposed to be a guy making a recipe.
I saw this.
It is so funny. Like, and it was live during a Meta shareholder presentation or something.
And he was like looking very uncomfortable, like
yeah. He was like, hey, Meta. Well, because he did this like smug tech thing where he was like, I'm about to wow him. And he was like, hey, Meta, help me make a Korean
steak. Korean sauce. That's what
it
was.
Yeah, Korean sauce. And he's and the AI starts and is like, haha, okay. And then like immediately it's like, grate the pears on top. It's so funny.
I saw that was very funny.
I love it when technology doesn't work.
I know.
I love it. It's like my favorite thing.
It happens a lot.
It does happen a lot. I feel like a lot of technology is overpromised and underdelivered, but that's another topic for another show.
Yeah. We'll get into that one day.
Hype machine. No, I will rant about it randomly.
Don't get me started on how my iPhone 13 started randomly dropping calls because I think that it just wants me to get a new phone.
Mine has been doing shitty things to me,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, just like randomly. And it's not, I'm in a totally good spot. There's no connectivity issue. And the calls just keep dropping. And of course, like whoever you're on the phone with, it's usually my husband because I don't talk on the phone to that many people. But like you call the person back and you're both like a little salty. You're like, ugh. Phone, yeah. Were you in the bathroom? Did you drop your phone? And it's like, no, man, it's just technology.
It's not as good as they say it is. And it never is. No. It never is. But it makes it, you know what? Everybody should feel a little good about that because we're not going to be replaced because this shit can't do anything.
No, ChatGPT cannot make a Korean marinade.
All right. That's all the time we have for this week's episode of Hysteria. Alyssa Mastromonaco, thank you for being my ride or die. Listeners, we love you. You're great. If you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com is our email address. And there will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Aaron Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. Matt DeGroat is our head of production. Adrian Hill is our head of news and politics. Kendra James is our executive producer of culture and entertainment. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.